This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. What a good day it is to be together in this hour of worship, and it's my joy to welcome you into this time together. Whether you're joining us online or here in the sanctuary, the Spirit of Christ unites us in this time of worship. I would like to invite all of us to register our attendance. If you're worshiping online, there's a link you can place in your browser to sign in. And here in the sanctuary, there are registration pads at the end of each row. And if you'll sign those and pass them back down the row and pay attention to the names of others sitting around you, and there's an opportunity to meet someone new today if you don't recognize the name. I've had the privilege of meeting some folks who are visiting with us for the very first time today, and we're so glad that you're here. If you are looking for a place to call your spiritual home, we invite you to share an email address or a mailing address or phone number with us, and that will give us a chance to reach out to you and begin that conversation together. A few announcements as we gather this morning. We had a snafu with the bulletin insert, a little bit of a miscommunication, so there is no insert in your bulletin this morning, which means that our closing hymn is different. We will be singing "There is a Wideness in God's Mercy." Oh, do you have inserts? I just work here. I don't know anything. So, okay, that happened at 8:45. We've got it fixed. Never mind. Rewind. Okay, read your announcements in the insert. I want to highlight some of the things that are in there. Our closing hymn. We'll just do the best we can. God is with us. Thank you. I need to get myself an insert. Okay, let me start this over. This is the day that the Lord has made. There are other announcements that want to make sure you see in the bulletin insert about upcoming ministries this fall, the all church retreat, children and youth choirs, things that you can begin signing up for and praying about to participate in. So we hope you will do that. Tonight, as a reminder, we're having a gathering for everyone who's interested in hearing a little bit more about the wisdom literature and the prophets as we've been making our way through the scriptures this year. Some of you have committed to reading the Bible this year, and we, of course, invite you to be there, but everyone is welcome. We'll gather at 5:00 down in McWhorter Hall. It's a potluck, so please feel free to bring a dish. We'll provide fried chicken and drinks, and then we'll spend some time diving into the scriptures together tonight. Finally, I have someone I want to introduce to you if you haven't had a chance yet to meet Reverend Amy Baxter. Amy is going to be joining our staff a quarter time here at West End working with young adults, and then three-quarter time working across the street on Vanderbilt's campus as the director of the Wesley Foundation. And we just feel that the Holy Spirit has brought her into this role and are really excited to see what God will do through you. So let's welcome Amy and give her a hug. And please be in prayer for her and for the students as they return to campus in a couple of weeks. This morning, we're diving into the book of Jonah together. So let us open our hearts and minds to what the Spirit has to reveal to us in this ancient story.
the call to worship that is printed in your bulletin. The word of the Lord came to Jonah.
The word of
the Lord. O God, may we be willing to listen diligently to you. Give us courage to accept your call.
As we you.
Trusting that God's love for us is unconditional and God's mercy is everlasting, let us make our confession with the confidence of children of God. God of mercy, we trust in your unconditional love for all creation. Forgive us for the ways we have created a love with conditions, allowing status to overtake your steadfast love. Forgive us for the moments we have failed to lead with love, allowing our disagreements to determine our treatment of each other. Forgive us for the times we have grown angry to your call, allowing our discomfort to overshadow your love for humanity. Like the people of Nineveh, may we be more willing to acknowledge our wrongdoings and turn to you for guidance and healing. Open our hearts and minds to the wonders of your mercy. And now, O God, we offer you our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. As the forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
Thank you.
Please join me in the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Old Testament, Jonah, starting in chapter 3, verse 1. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, "Get up, go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim to it the message that I tell you." So Jonah set out and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly large city, a 3 days' walk across. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's walk. And he cried out, 40 days more, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." And the people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast, and everyone, great and small, put on sackcloth. When the news reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, removed his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. Then he had a proclamation made in Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, no human being or animal, no herd or flock shall taste anything. They shall not feed, nor shall they drink water. Human beings and animals shall be covered with sackcloth, and they shall cry mightily to God, and shall turn from their evil ways and from the violence that is in their hands. Who knows? God may relent and change his mind. He may turn from his fierce anger so that we do not perish. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed his mind about the calamity that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. But this was very displeasing to Jonah, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord and said, "O Lord, is not this what I said while I was still in my own country? That is why I fled to Tarshish at the beginning. For I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and ready to relent from punishing. And now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than live." And the Lord said, "Is it right for you to be angry?" Then Jonah went out of the city and sat down east of the city and made a booth for himself there. He sat under it in the shade, waiting to see what would become of the city. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
kids who want to come forward and join me up here. We had a big group at 8:45. I think we have a few folks this morning. If you can make your way up to join me if you'd like, you can bring a parent or friend if you want. And if you're worshiping online, just get a little bit closer to your screens and we'll share a minute together. Good morning, good morning. Come on up. All right. Good morning. Good to see you. A prophet named Jonah. And one of the things I love about this story is that it also has a lot of animals in it. I love animals. Do you love animals? I do too. So one animal is a big fish. We didn't hear this part of the story, but at one point in the story, Jonah falls into the ocean and God sends a big fish to swallow him and keep him safe for 3 days in the fish's belly. And then he spits him back up on the shore, and God says to Jonah, "Now I want you to go and tell the people of Nineveh what I need to say to them." And when the prophet tells the people of Nineveh that God isn't very pleased with them, they all change. And it talks about how even the animals turned to God. And at the very end of Jonah, there's a little thing about a tree and a worm, and it's all part of the story. It just reminds me that plants and animals are all part of our life together with God. And so it's important for us to take care of plants and take care of animals and to thank God every day for those things. So if you've got plants in your house, maybe you can help water them. If you've got a pet, maybe you can help feed it and brush it and take care of it. Or maybe you could put a little bird feeder outside and help feed the birds that God created. It's all part of God's story. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we thank you so much for all the birds of the air and the animals and the ocean and the fish and the plants and all of these things you've given us as part of creation. Help us to take good care of all of these things and be grateful for them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all so much. If you would are 3, 4, or 5 and would like to go to Children's Church, Pastor Maggie and Miss Jennifer are going to lead you in Children's Church. And Pastor Shannon, too. When I was in the 4th, 5th, and 6th grade, I sang in the Asbury Choir at my church. You can tell by the name, it was a United Methodist church. And I don't remember a lot of the songs we sang, but I do remember we did a musical all about the prodigal son. And it was called Barbecue for Ben. Anybody ever do Barbecue for Ben? We'll have a barbecue for Ben. Amen, amen, amen. That's how it ended. I also remember singing a song about Jonah. Hey, old Jonah, you should have obeyed the Lord. Y'all know it. Hey, old Jonah, you can't run away from the Lord. Sorry, can't go that deep. I still remember that. It's a catchy song and a story that is really easy for children to relate to. The story of Jonah, as I was sharing with the children a moment ago, has animals in it. It has an easy plot to follow. There are lots of kids' Bible stories and vacation Bible schools and musicals based around the story of Jonah. And yet, if we dig a little closer down into the story of Jonah, and if we read all the way to the end, it's a little more troubling than we might have thought as kids. The story of Jonah doesn't have a happy ending, at least as far as we know. It's sort of an open ending. And the prophet's not in a good place when the story ends. Now, if you've never sung the story of Jonah, if you've never read it all the way through, or it's been a while, let me just recount for you the basic plot. So God calls Jonah to go and preach the word of the Lord to Nineveh. Now it's important for us to realize right away this is unusual because the Ninevites are not Hebrew people. They're not part of God's chosen people. In fact, there are other prophets in other places in the Old Testament who condemn Nineveh. One of the prophets even rejoices when the city of Nineveh is destroyed. But in the story of Jonah, God wants to speak to the Ninevites. And God wants to send Jonah. Now, Jonah has no interest in going. We don't find out why until the end of the story. So instead of doing what God says, Jonah hops on a boat going in the opposite direction. So God stirs up a storm on the sea to get Jonah's attention, and Jonah tells the sailors on the boat, "I'm sorry, it's my fault, God's angry, toss me overboard and the storm will end." And at first, to the sailors' credit, they don't want to do that to Jonah. But eventually, the storm gets so bad that they do. They toss him overboard, immediately the storm ceases, and then a big fish — it's one thing I learned in seminary, it's not a whale, it's a big fish, apparently — comes and swallows Jonah, holds him in its belly for 3 days, and then spits him back up on the shore. And that's where the text that Brandon read starts. It's kind of like, okay, take two. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, the exact same word: go to Nineveh and speak to them the word that I will give you. So this time, Jonah wisely says, okay. So Jonah goes to Nineveh, and the only thing he says, the only word we get, is one sentence. This is another way that the story of Jonah is so different from the other prophets in the Old Testament. The other Old Testament prophets, we get pages and pages of what the prophets say to the people, of the oracles that they preach, the word of the Lord that they bring. But Jonah is pretty much the story of Jonah and one sentence: 40 days and the Lord will overthrow Nineveh. That's it. Now, I can imagine Jonah, as reluctant as he is to fulfill this mission, saying, "Oh, 40 days and Nineveh will be destroyed. I'm out." He's not that interested in delivering the message. But he does, and lo and behold, the people listen. The people believe in the Lord, and they repent, from the king all the way down to the cows. The king puts on sackcloth and ashes and prays to God, and prays that God might relent from the punishment that God has planned. And God relents from punishing. And it would be a beautiful ending, perfect for children, if it stopped right there. But it doesn't. It goes on. Because you see, Jonah is angry. He is resentful. He is so frustrated with God for forgiving these people that he goes outside the city walls and he pouts. And God comes to him and says, "Is it right for you to be angry, Jonah?" But Jonah said, "I knew it. I knew you were going to do this. This is why I didn't want to go to Nineveh in the first place, because I know your nature, God. I know that you are a God slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love." As if this is an accusation against God. "You are too merciful, God. Just kill me now. I would rather die than live." And we can fill in the blank there. I would rather die than live in a world with forgiven Ninevites. God pleads with Jonah to understand and accept the wideness of God's mercy, that it's not Jonah's job to decide who gets mercy and who doesn't. And then God leaves Jonah sitting outside, pouting. And we don't know what happened next. One of the things I've been talking about as we've been reading the Bible together this year is that there are recurring themes that we'll see in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And we see one of those themes today, that there is sometimes within us, especially the people of God and religious people, a desire to limit God's mercy, or a little bit of resentment when God's mercy goes a little further than we think it should. We look at the ministry of Jesus and how so often the Pharisees and scribes are described as whispering and mumbling and resentful at Jesus because he eats with sinners and tax collectors and prostitutes. Look at the people he's welcoming, as if they would rather die than live in a kingdom of God that includes those people. Or we look at the early church and this wave of Gentiles that were being touched by the Holy Spirit, that God seemed to be working and including all of these non-Jewish people, these Gentiles. And there were some who resented that and said, well, they can't just join the church. We have to make sure that they do things the way we want them to, trying to manage God's mercy and God's grace. I think we see it most clearly in Jesus' parable of the prodigal son. You know the story. There was a man who had two sons. The younger son demands his inheritance, goes off and wastes it all in profligate living. The older son stays home, works the farm, does his duty, does everything he's supposed to do. And then one day that younger son comes back. He turns around and repents and comes home. And lo and behold, the father goes running out and embraces him with love and grace and forgiveness and mercy and throws a barbecue for Ben. But the older brother, just like Jonah, stands outside the house. He won't go in. He is so angry at his father's mercy, so resentful that his father would forgive and include this son once again in the family. And he would rather die than live in a household that welcomes back a prodigal. Or so it seems. And so the question arises for me and for us as the people of God. Who are our Ninevites? Are there people that we just would rather God would judge and smite than forgive and include? I know there's a part of me that just wants to get a bowl of popcorn and watch God smite. There's a little bit of that spirit, I think, in me and maybe in you. And if so, the story of Jonah is rather convicting. You know, I went back and forth on my sermon title this week. I'm sorry, Andrew Callis. Andrew's here this morning. He works with our bulletins. And I emailed him on Tuesday and said, here's my sermon title, which is the one that's printed today. And then I emailed Wednesday and said, no, let's not do that one. Let's go with the pouting prophet. Because I wanted to show how Jonah was a pouting prophet and how we might identify with him sometimes. But the more I lived with that and prayed over this text, I realized I don't want to focus on the pouting prophet. What this story really points to, what the story of the prodigal son really points to, what the life and ministry of Jesus points us toward, is the uncontrollable, unmanageable mercy of God that has been set loose in the world. And we are not the gatekeepers. We don't control who is given mercy. We don't control who is loved, for it includes all of creation. And so we celebrate today. And the story of Jonah and the story of the prodigal son end with that invitation of God, of the Father in the parable, coming out to beg Jonah, to beg the older brother to come back in and join the party. And the story and the question are left open, that we might with joy live in a world with forgiven Ninevites. Amen.
Response to the gospel, I invite you to stand and to recite with me our affirmation of faith. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others,
to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life and death and life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. As we come to our time of communal prayer, I want to remind us that we are a community who cultivates this life of prayer and our care for one another. And if you would like us to pray with and for you throughout the week, if you are worshiping with us online, you'll find a mean by which on our website, the Contact Us tab, would be the way to communicate with us how we can be praying for you. And for those of us here in the sanctuary, you'll see the gray card in the pew right in front of you. If you would like to write your prayer concern and leave it in the offering plate, it would be our joy to journey with you with prayer. Friends, we also have much to celebrate in our common life together. We have four babies that have been born over the course of the last few weeks. And I want to let you know of those families so you can join them in praying for them and for the flourishing of their family, and also join them in celebrating. We celebrate the birth of Christopher James Smiley Jr., who was born July 11th to Taylor and Chris Smiley. We celebrate the birth of Anna Frances von Lunen, who was born on July 21st to Carolyn and Matt von Lunen. She's welcomed also by her sister, Ruthie von Lunen, grandparents, Laura and Rob Riley, aunt and uncle, Lindsay and Robert Riley, and cousins, Sally Ann, Carolyn, and Laura Lee Riley. We celebrate the birth of Rainey Jean Schoen, who was born on July 24th to Eric and Allie Schoen. She's welcomed also by her grandparents, Nancy and Skipper Phipps, and aunt and uncle, Alicia and Rob Phipps. We celebrate the birth of Bennett Michael Wolf, who was born on July 25th to Dale and Liz Wolf. He is welcomed also by his big sister, Emma Wolf, and grandparents, Scott and Ellen Wolf. Looks like we will have a number of baptisms in the Sundays to come. We rejoice in this good news. Even in our rejoicing, we remember those in our communion who are weeping and mourning this day, especially lifting up Julie, Daniel, and Corny Parker as they mourn the death of Julie's mother, Gail Martin Watson, who passed away on July 20th. Services were held for Gail yesterday in Franklin. We also remember Scott and Ellen Wolf and their family as they mourn the death of Scott's brother, Jeff Wolf. Jeff passed away on July 20th in Johnson City, Tennessee. As we go to the Lord in prayer, I invite you to be praying with me. In response to the petition, Lord, in your mercy, I invite you to say, hear our prayer. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. God, to know you is to know a God whose mercy blesses all of creation. Your compassion is without bounds or borders, as you desire all to be swept up in the wholeness and the healing of your saving love. This day, O God, we pray that you would transform our hearts into the heart of your Son, Jesus Christ, the one who befriends sinners, loves his enemies, and prays for those who persecute him. When our hearts are hardened toward others, might they be softened to see your face in the face of those we disagree with, and Lord, even those we despise. Lord, in your mercy. When our hearts are poisoned with bitterness, rage, or resentment, might they be healed by grace to forgive and also to be forgiven. Lord, in your mercy. When our hearts are closed to the stranger, might they be open to the surprise of discovering Christ in the unexpected one. Lord, in your mercy. We pray these blessings for our life together, even as we pray for the transformations of the hearts of those who are actively persecuting your body in this world. For the hearts of all people in power who are destroying human life and creation through the machinations and industry of war. Lord, in your mercy. For the hearts of those so consumed with love of money that they dispose of people and disregard the flourishing of all. Lord, in your mercy. For the hearts of those who persecute your church across the world and for all whose hearts are hardened by sin, turn them toward life today as you did in Nineveh so long ago. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. These petitions and those spoken in our hearts, we offer to you as we pray the prayer that Christ is teaching us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, let us now offer our gifts to God in gratitude and praise. For those of you who are worshiping online, you'll see the screen pop up in a way by which you can follow the link and give online. And for those of us in the sanctuary, our offering plates will be passed in each aisle so that you can make your gifts to God. Friends, in response to the God whose love is never failing and whose generosity is always abundant, let us give with joy.
Thank you.
scriptures tell us from of old of the unlimited mercy of God that has been unleashed in the world. And we have the joy of sharing that good news in new ways. Go from this place to do just that. And in so doing, may you know Christ's peace and power. Amen.